Blog Talk Radio.
I was a hard drinking sinner with blood on my hands. I was a hard drinking sinner, a gun in my hands, drinking 40 pounds for dinner till I met a big man. And the man said, how do we do?
This is Ryan.
Sanji.
And this is Jared.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Miller.
Miller?
Yeah. Who the fuck is Jared? It's Miller.
It's Jared Miller.
It's Miller time.
It's always Miller time.
Always Miller time. So how are you guys doing tonight? Good?
I'm doing well.
Still pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. For the
nine,
time being.
9 days and counting.
9 days left. It's going to be weird not doing the show from here.
I know.
It really is, actually.
It's been over a month.
Wow.
A month of Mondays.
And a Thursday thrown
and
in there.
And a Thursday.
Yeah, yeah. For a little bit of a, change it up a little bit. We had a show on Thursday. I mean, we're having a baby next week. That's big news.
Big news.
Big news.
One more show till baby day.
That's right. I'm trying to think of, like, anything paranormal we have going on. We had the National Paranormal Day at the cabin. We had a little get-together at the cabin last week. That was fun.
It looked fun.
We got to investigate with some people from Transcend Paranormal here in Richmond, so that was good. We got some Got some good EVPs from the brick house next door. And in the woods, too. Heard some weird knocking sounds.
Ooh.
Yeah, strange. Like wood knocking, like freaking Sasquatch out there.
Like woodpeckers?
No. It sounded like someone knocking like a hollow piece of wood. Like, but then it sounded like it was bouncing. Like, that was weird. You know how you bounce the ball and it goes when it stops?
Like a woodpecker?
No, it's not a fucking woodpecker. Woodpeckers, like the whole time. That's just, this is dot. It's not a woodpecker. Wasn't a fucking, it wasn't woodpeckers.
Woodpeck, if a woodpecker could peck wood.
Fuck you. Wasn't a goddamn woodpecker. It was. You heard woodpeckers before. They don't peck wood at night.
Oh, I know. There's one that's outside of my house in the morning.
They don't peck wood at night.
You don't know that. It could be a nocturnal woodpecker.
That's what I'm saying. They don't exist.
Woodpeckers have feelings,
Bigfoots.
Too.
Bigfoots exist more than a woodpecker. A woodpecker at night. At night, woodpecker.
Okay. Let's see who's seen more.
I've never seen a woodpecker peck at night. Just saying, and not like
well,
that.
Well, because it's night and you can't see; it's dark.
I mean, I can hear.
But you've heard it.
I've not heard a woodpecker peck at night.
How do you know you haven't seen it?
like Ghostbusters.
What is
you
that?
Saw that? I'm about to blow my mind. I know. Damn.
I've been in the hospital too long.
We're losing listeners left and right here.
Please come back.
And we have a caller in the queue. If it's you, Merlin, press 1 on your phone so we can stop this insanity.
What'd you say?
Insanity. It wasn't a freaking woodpecker. Maybe it was one of those rare night woodpeckers. It's just
maybe it was a zombie woodpecker.
That's what it was.
It was a ghost woodpecker.
Looking
and it doesn't
for
know day and night.
I'll have to play you the sound.
Yeah.
Of the wood knocking. Of the
yeah, I'd like to hear it too.
The Bigfoot. So we have Merlin coming on the show tonight from Twisted Paranormal Society.
Love her.
Very, very fun guest. She was on. She was with us a few months ago. We had Tana and Melissa Missy
mm-hmm.
on, and
the show.
Yeah, and we talked to Missy. We talked to Tana. We haven't really had a chance to.
It's her
to
turn.
Speak with
Merlin's turn.
Yeah, it's our turn to get freaky with Merlin, and it'll be fun. What do you guys think? Do we think we should put her on?
I think so.
All right, let's
Merlin go. The magician.
That's right.
She knows some tricks.
Yeah, she does. Hey, welcome to the show.
Greetings. What are y'all up to?
Oh, you know us. We're just partying like freaking rock stars over here in the hospital.
I've almost lost my mind.
Conversations about ghost woodpeckers and
yeah, talk about them in freaking out there and almost
ghost woodpeckers. Why not? Why not?
Anything could happen.
It's just a weird sound. It sounded like someone knocking two pieces of wood together. And then, but it sounded like a bouncing ball. It was, I can't really describe it. I will go on Audacity. I will shorten this clips up and I'll send them to you guys. You can tell me what you think it is.
I think it's a woodpecker.
Not a fucking woodpecker.
Oh.
Woodpeckers don't peck at night.
Yeah, maybe a ghostly game of street hockey.
See?
Hey, well, I mean,
all kinds of options.
I mean,
a
ghostly game of street hockey would actually be pretty cool. I want to, if I caught ghost playing street hockey, I would be, I would count that as pretty good evidence.
Yeah, most definitely.
I wouldn't mind.
Unless, until you get hit with the ball.
Yeah. Especially if it's a ghost puck you can't see.
Well, then it might just go right through you.
True.
You really wouldn't get hit by the ball.
Yeah, but then you get like a blast of cold air hitting you.
Maybe you'd get like green slime, like a slimer goes through you.
It's true, yeah.
It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it would be. Then you gotta don't mess up your clothes. Does ectoplasm, is that easy to get out? Do I need to carry out a Tide stick when I go to
Tide White? You need some Tide White.
Not Tide Pods, though, because I'm making hungry, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Yeah.
I think Merlin's wondering why the hell she got herself into.
Like, how did I sign up for this?
Yeah, I know perfectly well what I've gotten myself into is what you've gotten yourself into that you need to worry about here.
That's what I like to hear. That's awesome. So, for the people who didn't listen to the show you were on before, which I don't know why they wouldn't have, but if they had like a death in the family or something like that, that's really the only excuse you can have for not hearing the show. But what exactly got you into the paranormal?
Well, as far as investigating, or just paranormal in general.
What was your youngest, like, the youngest experience you've had? Like, what, like, as far as, like, growing up experiences?
Well, I'm trying to think. I mean, I didn't have an overly odd childhood, but it always seemed, to me, it was ghosts, spirits, things like that. They just are. They just, I mean, they're just a reality for me. I mean, they've always been that way. I'm a nerd.
Yeah,
I grew up watching, you know, all the stuff on TV, staying up late at night and watching all the old Vincent Price movies and Night Gallery, you know, anything that had ghosts or just something bizarre. I was probably zoning in on it. I was a pretty much a I wouldn't say a loner as a child, but I didn't socialize a lot, so I would read tremendous amounts. The whole house was filled with books. I remember reading the entire Encyclopedia of Man, Myth, and Magic. Strange Stories and Amazing Facts. You know, anything that was just odd or out of the ordinary was probably going to pique my interest. And I remember being an extreme lucid dreamer. I would get up in the middle of the night and sleepwalk all over the house and do strange things. Apparently one time I tried to get out the back door. Thank God they locked it. So, but I remember my mother had a thing. She was kind of, I think she suffered from insomnia most of her life. And, you know, the least little sound in the house, and she would get up and she would, you know, go check around the house and see what it was. And I never really understood why she did that, because I didn't sleep myself. I was kind of a night owl, but you had to go to bed anyway, because if you didn't, you would get in trouble. So, you know, every night I would lay in bed, and I'd, you know, if there was a little creak in the house or something, I could hear the door downstairs would open, and she'd open the door and listen at the door and then close it and go back to bed. And I remember one night laying there and just kind of trying to decide, you know, when am I going to go to sleep tonight, and staring at the clock. I had one of those little clock radios that had the little red glowing lights on it, and I heard, of course, heard the door downstairs open. And I thought, oh, yeah, here we go, here's the bed check. And then for some reason, she started coming up the stairs, which she had never done before. And I remember laying there thinking, well, yeah, what's happening here? You know, I haven't moved, I'm not out of bed, I'm not in trouble. And she got all the way to the top of the stairs and walked and went into the room across the hall. And I suffer from total night blindness, so I couldn't see, you know, and I didn't want to move either because I didn't want her to know I was awake. So I'm laying there with my eyes half open, you know, kind of looking at the clock. And then I heard her turn and come around and come into my room and walk towards the end of the bed. I remember looking at the clock, and it was like this fog went across the color on the clock. And I sat there for a minute, and I kind of blinked my eyes a little bit, and I thought, oh, what is that? And then realized I was looking at this thing standing at the end of the bed just staring at me. And it was probably one of the most terrifying moments in my life. I had never seen anything like that. And it was just this tall figure that looked like he was wearing a robe or a tunic or of some sort, and had long hair that kind of hung down in front and black eyes, and it just stared at me. And I don't remember, you know, feeling like it meant me any harm or it was there for any particular reason, but I remember staring at this thing and not wanting to move at all. And apparently I fell asleep that way, because I woke up the next morning, I still had the blankets like gripped in my hands and laying there terrified that it was still in the room and just looking around going, what was that? It took me a few days to talk to my mom about it, and apparently it had visited the house before, a long while, and that was the first time in a long time that it had been there, and I don't know why it had returned. But that was a very defining moment in my life, was seeing that thing. I don't know what it was. I don't know what it wanted. It was gone. I was happy. I never saw it again. So that kind of, you know, that was a defining moment for me that said, yeah, these things, they're very real. You know, before it was, yeah, ghosts are there, ghosts are real. But that was like the concrete moment for me that said, there's stuff there that we don't know, we don't understand. And yeah. I wanted to know more about it. But at that time, you know, anything to do with ghosts or spirits, it was either on TV or the front of the National Enquirer. So you just...
And that was
just,
That was kind of your in-your-face moment. Like, you know,
It stuck with me. I mean, to this day, I still, you know, I kind of go back to that moment and wonder what, you know, what was that? You know, am I ever going to see anything like that again? Am I ever going to see that again?
Yeah. Now, you had that moment, which, you know, you'd already been interested in the paranormal and stuff like that, and then that just kind of showed you, hey, you know, I've seen this. When did you realize that you had actual abilities and that you could, like, sense these things and hear them? Was it at that moment, or did that kind of come on a little bit later after you'd had more experience?
It was kind of like an on and off thing throughout my life. I tell you the truth, I never saw much use in it. It was like I could go some places and I knew that there were things there, but I didn't pay a lot of attention to them. It was like, okay, yeah, there's a ghost here. Let's carry on. Most of that, you know, if you heard about it, you saw about it, you read about it, it was some corny TV show or the National Enquirer, the Globe News, and if you opened your mouth and you talked about these sort of things, you know, you were, you know, if you're an oddball already, you don't need to add to that.
Yeah.
And I was an oddball. So I didn't really pay much attention to them until I had to live with a house full of them, and then I kind of sort of had to pay attention to them and communicate with them a little bit, and then once I got down here in Virginia, and some friends of mine were going to, you know, just announced one night, you know, we're gonna go film with this paranormal group. And, you know, and I'd watch the TV shows, you know, the Ghost Hunters and the Ghost Adventures. And I remember way back MTV had that, what was that called? Fear, where they had people that would go into things.
Yeah.
I'm going, yeah, that was, I mean, to me, that was cool. It was like, I'd love to do that. You know, my daughter, you know, she was into, we'd watch these things going, I want to do that so bad. And they said, well, we're going to go down and meet these people and, you know, see if we can work out some filming with them. And I'm not ashamed to admit, I begged. I said, I don't care. You know, I'll carry a bag. I'll carry golf clubs. I don't care. I just want to go. You know, the chance to walk around some place that, you know, has documented spirits in it is just, was amazing to me. And that's where I met Lyle and Tana and the rest of the team. And big shout out to everybody there.
Woo!
Right.
And yeah, they're a great group of people. They really are. And then, yeah, I thought, yeah, this is really cool. I like the way that they did things. You know, it was a little different than everybody that I'd seen and the way they conducted themselves. And after that, they'd done the trip to Old South Pittsburgh. And that, to me, just... Old South Pittsburgh was so different from anything that I'd ever run into in my entire life. And after that, I just kind of, and the more I did it, the more it's kind of taken off in strange directions. You know, the more I'm kind of forced to pay attention and look for these spirits, you know, you're kind of like Scooby-Doo. You know, you go into these places, and it took me a while to figure out, you know, because at first I would go into these places and I would do my walk alone, and it because I wasn't used to cameras, I wasn't used to having people around me, and I usually, it was kind of like a truce between myself and any of the spirits that were there. Say, you know, look, I'm walking through this place by myself. I'm trusting you. Please trust me. You know, trust me, trust the people that we're with. And usually that worked out really well. And the more I've been doing it and stopping and listening to myself and getting my mind quiet and trying to understand what's happening around me and how I'm getting the information, it's developed in ways that I did not quite expect. And I started seeing things. And that was new. And then the dream started, and that was a new thing. And that one kind of blew me away. I didn't know what to think of that. So I'm not, you know, not by any means am I an expert or, you know, someone who, you know, understands the spirits or what they are or what they're doing or why they're here or any of that. It's, I know they're there. I can see them occasionally. Most of the time, I remember the first time I actually saw one as I usually see them now, and it was... I would have to describe, I just turned around and it was like, if you'd taken someone, you know, when you take the photographs and you use your Photoshop and it has the one where you can turn it into a cartoon or turn it into a drawing, and it's almost like that. They're like black and white, very pixelated looking things where their features are very exaggerated. And I remember, I think we were at the graffiti house the first time I saw one do that. And I just turned around and I could see the head and shoulders of this little girl just walking into the room, had her head down and walked by me. And I just stood there for the longest time going, I just saw that. What did I just see? Yeah, I had never seen anything like that. And it's just kind of progressed from there. So, where it's going to go next is, you know, if I continue to do this thing, I have no idea. So it's like so I said,
think,
I never.
So you think the more you investigate, the stronger your abilities get, like you almost like a like exercise. The more you exercise your abilities, the more you use them, the stronger they get.
For me, yeah, it has. I know that there are people who have done it their entire life and they can't get rid of it, and it's just as strong now as it was then. For me, it's been like exercising. It's like, where's this going to go next? You know, what am I going to do? The more in contact I am with these spirits and going out and looking for them and feeling for them and sensing for them, the stronger it's become. And when you see some things that you haven't seen before, or you have an experience that you haven't had before, sometimes you backpedal a little bit, because it can get scary, especially if you're not prepared for what's going to happen next. What am I going to see next? And there are some things I've seen that I just don't understand. I don't know what they are. I mean, when it comes to the mystical and the magical and all of this supernatural stuff, I don't lean more in that direction. I lean more towards the science of all of this. I'm interested in, what can we do to figure out what is it? I'd love to see more hardcore science involved in the paranormal, and instead of being just ignored by the scientific community. There's a lot of things that they stick out there and they say, we can explain this, we can explain that, we can do this, but then there's a lot of things that they can't explain and they just ignore it, but they don't investigate it. And I understand that, because most of the time, haunted locations are not an environment that you can control, which science really likes. But I lean more in that direction. I see what I do is, you have people who they're very talented in mathematics. They're very talented in science. They're just hardwired to be this way. And I think there are people like myself and others who you just are this way. This, you're kind of hardwired to be like this, and I'd love to see that kind of explored a little more, but it's really hard to get people who can do that kind of thing interested in doing it. Because they're afraid their reputation, they're going to be laughed at, they're going to be not taken seriously. But the paranormal community and things that we do, we don't enjoy being laughed at either, because we're there, we hear it, we hear the EVPs, we've seen the things, we've felt the things, we know that they're there. And if anybody out there has never done this kind of thing before, they think it's some kind of a joke or that it's just pure entertainment when they're watching these shows, I strongly suggest get out there and try it. Get out there and go to these things. If you need to go to a public investigation, or you get the opportunity to do a mini investigation somewhere, do it before you decide that this is just, it's a joke, or it's pure entertainment, it's total bunk. It's not. I mean, we all know that. Other people
Absolutely.
Out there, not so much. They just think this is TV. No, it's not TV. This is not ghost stories. This is not books. This is real.
And it was happening before TV.
Yeah, it's been going on for thousands of years. Spirits and the spirit world and things like that. I mean, it's something that's been going on this long. It's the greatest mystery in in the universe. What happens when we die? How could you not explore this? Especially when you have evidence and data from, I mean, over thousands of years, and Lord knows how much evidence is out there that people have collected that says it's here, but you ignore it and you just kind of blow it off. Please, you know, please don't do that. Don't do that. This is real. This is a real thing, and you know, maybe we don't know exactly what it is that we're talking to. There's a lot of people have different ideas on exactly, you know, is it, you know, do you go with the Bible expression and, you know, it's all demons and they're here to trick us and make us think that it's something else, you know, in the afterlife and lead us away from God, or is this spirits of the old world from the time that there were, you know, humans walking around the place, you know, whatever it is, it's there. And we need to explore this. We need to find out what it is that we're talking to, because we really don't know what we're talking to. I mean, I can tell you what I feel. I can tell you the impressions that I get from it. I can tell you, you know, what it's giving me an impression of what they look like. But can I tell you for certain that that is exactly what it is? No, I couldn't, because I don't have that information. I just know what I get. And then I'm going to tell you what I get.
I think people are scared, or they're scared of what they can't see, you know, or what they don't understand. And if you look at it as entertainment, you keep it in that box, little box. Oh, that's just on TV. It doesn't exist. It makes their life easier to understand. If you throw
that
mental
in,
you know.
Yeah, it would also, I know a lot of people, it upsets their core belief in things.
Yeah.
And people really, they really don't like that. If you know, if you've been raised in a religious environment that says that when you die, you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell, and there is no in-between, it's either or. And you, for some reason, decide sometime that you're going to go out and you're going to prove that this paranormal and ghosts and spirits aren't real. And you do that EVP recording, and they're standing there in the dark, and they know that no one around them has said a word. And yet they play that back, and that look on a person's face the very first time they hear that voice, I've seen that before. It's a very unsettling moment for them to realize there's something here, and I don't understand that. And they're going to either immediately outright reject it, it's a trick, they're going to come up with some reason as to why they heard that, or they just, you know, they've got to take a step back and reexamine everything that they believe. And a lot of people, they don't want to do that. They don't want to leave that comfort zone. And
they want to put the cat back into the bag. You know, the cat jumped out of the bag. The ghost is real. They want to put it back. Well, the cat never came out.
They don't want to touch Pandora's box.
Yeah, they want to, like, all right, let's just close it back on this and pretend that never happened.
Yeah,
you know?
And I've seen some people do that, and it's interesting to watch them do it, and it's like, you know, you heard that. You know that you heard that, and you know that that's real, but you're gonna erase that, or you're going to tuck it in the back of your phone, and about once every 6 months, you're going to pull out your headphones, and you're going to listen to that again, and you're going to be very unsettled and uncomfortable, and then you're going to hide it from yourself and go, that just simply did not happen. My husband was one of those people. You know, I've never seen anybody who could have experiences happen to him that he could come up with the most illogical logic to explain what it was. And if he couldn't explain it or he couldn't make it go away, that was weird. And that was it. That's all you ever heard about it again. And, you know, that was weird. So, I mean, I've been around, you know, friends, family, everything else. You know, they've had strange things happen, and then if they either accept it and go, okay, there's something I don't understand, or they go, nope, let me explain to you how that happened. So, I mean, I don't blame people for their beliefs, but I strongly encourage them to have an open mind about this kind of thing. You know, it's not just the TV shows. This is not a haunting and a haunting three, haunting four. What this is real.
Everything's not just white either. Everybody thinks it's black and white, but
a lot of gray area.
It is. It's a lot of stuff that we don't understand, and I think too that we're probably not meant to understand at this point. But it's there.
Yeah, either that or we just don't have the equipment right now to understand that. I explore all kinds of areas of information trying to find these leads. I mean, it's like I said, I believe firmly that there is a science involved in this. I mean, because you're looking at things like electromagnetic energy that the ghosts are either putting off or they're made of, or, you know, it's, I mean, there is science involved. We use equipment to detect these spirits. And You know, do we need to look a little further? Do we need to look outside the box of what we currently have and start, you know, implementing some things that we haven't thought of? It's like I believe that there's, you know, science and religion can be combined. You look at a lot of things that are in the Bible, and then you go back and you look at theories, the Big Bang Theory and things like this, and you start to see some similarities in things that are described in religion as the beginning of the universe or the world or whatever, and they're there. It's just you've got to keep putting these little pieces together and try to figure out, can you prove it? No, you can't. But you can look at what you currently have and start seeing where things kind of line up. You know, I've often wondered, you know, they say in the Bible there was a war in the heavens, and the angels went to battle over humans on earth and blah, 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 blah. Well, the Big Bang Theory, in the very beginning, after it happened, there was matter and antimatter. We're doing battle, basically, in the universe. And the reason we are still here is because matter had one more little thing than antimatter had, and it won. But if you think about it, well, maybe antimatter didn't totally lose. Maybe it just kind of dropped in the background. Maybe it developed its own little universe out there, and that's what we're talking to. I mean, there's all kinds of things out there that you can look at and you can think about and you can go, well, maybe it's like this, maybe it's like that, maybe it's over here, and we don't know. We're just not there yet. We're not developed enough. We're not on that edge of science yet to be able to just, you know, pluck it out of the air and say this is definitely what it is. We're just not there.
I really hope we don't get there in my lifetime, because then, you know, what's left to figure out? Once all of these pieces start coming, then, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I can understand that, like, you know, remove the biggest mystery in the universe, you know, but at the same time, you think about, you know, what if we could just... Yeah, we had an instrument where, you know, say you're missing your mom or your dad or your brother or your cousin or whatever it is, and you just pick this instrument up, turn it on, and you can talk to them when they're on the other side. You know, hey, I miss you.
Yeah.
Talk to me for a little bit, and then just hang up. Doesn't mean you're there
That's
yet.
Too
it's just, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, 50 years ago,
awesome.
You know. It would remove some of the mystery from it, but it's, you know, there's just stuff that we don't understand. I don't think we're ready to understand a lot of it that's going on the other side. I mean, there's so much strange evidence out there, and is it that comes back to you and it gets a little frightening. And I firmly believe there's things on their side that we don't want to fool with. Yeah, they've got certain rules. They've got certain regulations, things that they do on that site. And then they cannot, it's like if you bring up what's going on over there, you know, what's happening there, boom, you've got silence. You know, they don't want to talk about it anymore. They're done. And then you have some that apparently forget they're dead. And, I mean, we got an EVP at Mount Eagle one time where the guy, I remember sitting in the room and I remember him walking in the room and I remember turning around and looking. And then when we listened to the tapes, you hear this man go, "I must be dead." And it's like, did you forget? You know, you know, it's like it's almost like they kind of create their own reality on that side. I mean, does it, you know, when they're living in the house and you hear these people talking about, well, I saw this ghost walk through the wall there. And if you go back and you look at the history of the house, there probably was a doorway. Where they're walking through the wall, there's a doorway that somebody closed up. They're still using that door that used to be there. Because in their mind, their reality, that door is there. So they're just going to walk on through it. I mean, it's not like they got to turn a knob or anything, but, you know, it's an interesting idea that they would do this. You know, they can create their own reality. They want things to be the way it was when they were there. And if they live in that long enough and they're not bothered by anybody long, of course you could. I mean, if you're there 150 years, could forget, you know, would you forget you're dead? Maybe. Would you want to remember that you're dead? Probably not. I was just very surprised when I heard that EVP. I mean, he was just, it was like this, I must be dead. Yeah, Harry, you're dead. Did you forget that? You know. So you got to wonder how many times we walked into a place to investigate something and we've run into a ghost that doesn't know, you know, or has forgotten that they died or they didn't know that they're dead. They've just been wandering around living their life as they lived it before, and then suddenly we got these strange people that are yelling at them out of the void going, hey, you know, who are you? What's your name? When'd you die? I'm dead? Really? you know, how many have we frightened into the realization that they're dead, and it's, you know, well, maybe I just, you know, death is a little redundant.
They're getting ghost therapy right now. Yeah, they're all those people are all getting therapy on the other side.
Dead? What?
I
thought it was just really tired.
Yeah, I think it was at Mount Eagle one time. I mean, we've heard some of the strangest things, some of the funniest things come out of the SB 11, and we'd done a public investigation there. And we'd been to Mount Eagle several times, and when we did this public investigation, there was a young man, about a teenage boy, that was, like, following us around, and we kept getting him on the SB 11. We're trying to talk to him, and the other thing, I think his name was Pete or Peter or something like that. And we were like, who is this kid? Where did he come from? You know, he wasn't here before. Did he follow somebody here? Is he with someone? And we're, you know, what's your birth date? You know, and the only thing we could figure it was April 2 something. And we're going, you know, can you repeat it? What year were you born? All of a sudden we just got this very clear voice that came out of the SB 11 that said, you people are weird.
real life.
Yeah, they ain't wrong.
They
about that.
Servant there.
Yeah, they ain't lying.
Yeah, I was surprised. It was like I'd never heard. I mean, something so clear and just so you people are weird. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, you're weird. We're weird. You're weird. Where'd you come from? You know, who are you with? You know. You know, so, I mean, it's always surprising what you're going to get. Some of it's hysterical and some of it's scary. And, I mean, I enjoy all the above. I'm a dum-dum. If there's some kind of danger or, you know, somebody says there's something going on, I'm the first person in the group that's going to run right in that direction. So, yeah, I'm a little reckless in that area. but my curiosity will lead me asunder. Quite often.
Merlin, have you ever experienced something that really scared you? And if so, maybe how you dealt with it?
Well, I would have to go back to Old South Pittsburgh. That was one thing that I when I felt that down the hall, and I remember standing there, and it was like suddenly just a rush of spirits from that end of the hospital where it was coming from just started running past us to get away from it. And that kind of startled me at first because I'd never experienced anything like that. And I really wasn't I was just along for the ride. I was kind of amazed and startled that, you know, I was suddenly being pushed. I was trying to stay behind the camera, and I was being pushed in front of the camera, and that was unsettling for me. And then standing there in this room and having all these spirits just like a stampede to get away from whatever was going on at that end of the hospital. And whatever that was, it was probably one of the most terrifying things that I have ever felt in my life. And I mean, I'm not the cowardly type. If you tell me there's a naughty spirit, a bad spirit, or whatever it is, I'm unimpressed. I don't care. But this thing, it felt so unnatural. I mean, most spirits have a sense of self. They have their idea of what they look like. They have an impression of who they were in life, what they did, what clothes they wore, the things that interested them. This had none of that, none of it. And when it decided to get angry, it was sending things down that hall that were, I couldn't even describe what it was that was going through my mind. I mean, it was absolute terror. And I really wanted to look out in that hall so bad. And at the same time, I did not want to. And later it was kind of exhilarating, you know, to think about going through all of this. But at that moment, I think it was especially messed with Tana, and I had no idea what do you do with this, you know, what do you do with this thing that at any moment could, I mean, you're trapped, you're stuck there, you can't go anywhere. It messed with all of our heads so horribly. I mean, I remember listening to the tapes, and somebody said, you know, do we have a walkie-talkie? Yeah, we've got a walkie-talkie. Nobody pulled the walkie-talkie. I mean, we were all that upset that it was like, okay, we have a walkie-talkie. Let's stand here and look at this thing that's probably going to rip us to pieces at any moment and forget about the fact that we can call for help. You know, and then you realize your only way out is to walk right at it. And it's, you know, there it is. It's right there. I mean, that thing was absolutely terrifying. And it messed with everybody so horribly in that hospital. And some people more than others. I mean, it had people at each other's throats. It was just, after the cameras went off, there were all kinds of crazy things that went on. We have people that have absolute memory loss from being in that hospital. And it's not a place that, I mean, I don't know if they're going to open it back up. I know that it's closed now because of the problems. But, you know, anybody that goes down there and they want to, you know, you want to start some stuff at Old South Pittsburgh, I do not recommend that. I don't recommend it at all, because if there's a, you know, you've got any kind of weakness in you at all, it's going to find it and it's going to manipulate you. And I watched it do it to people down there, and that was a very frightening experience to know that it could so easily, you know, find somebody and what's going on inside of them or what's going inside of their head and manipulate that to the point that you just, you know, you're watching two best friends try to rip each other to pieces. It's like, this is not, yeah, this is not normal. You know, let's,
yeah,
let's,
okay.
You know, so it, you know, I mean, I remember it fooled with me all night long. That last night there, I remember I kept trying to get up out of bed and go into the hall. And I remember waking up one time walking towards the door, and I woke up. I thought, okay, well, that's crazy. And I went, I got back in bed, and I woke up again, and I had my hand on the doorknob. And I know it was, like, right on the other side of the door. And if I had not been awakened, I have, like, an inner alarm system that lets me know, you know, when things are going on. And if I didn't have that, I mean, Lord knows where I would have ended up in that hospital in the middle of the night. So, yeah, but it's, to me, you know, a lot of people don't want to go back down there, but to me, it's a personal, you know, that thing made it personal. Yeah. And I want to be able to just, you know, see this thing and realize, you know, I can deal with this. I can, you know, I can stand here, I can stand on my own 2 feet, and I can look at this thing and let's see what you got, bud.
Yeah,
but
you're not
going to
get the best of me.
Yeah, I don't want to carry that around for the rest of my life.
It's a location I want. There's definitely a location that I would love to experience, because I've heard the stories about it, and it's I almost feel like I need to experience it to get the full experience, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Need to experience it to experience.
That's right. I want to experience the experience.
Well, I have a question, which is kind of backtracking, so I'm sorry, but it's something that I'm kind of interested in now. We know that, you know, you have kind of abilities that you kind of, they grow and they develop, you know, with each time that you practice. Do you feel like, you know, you're the only person in your family who has these gifts? Or do you feel like, you know, maybe your mother had them too because of her insomnia and things like that? Or maybe a grandmother? And do you feel like you've passed any traits along to, I know you have at least one child. And if you don't feel comfortable talking about it, that's fine.
Well,
I got a backup question.
Tell you the truth, that one, that's a sketchy area for me because I'm adopted.
Okay.
When I refer to my mom and my dad, those are my adopted parents. I was adopted when I was 3 months old. I knew my birth mother. I met her a few times. And I knew of my natural father. On my father's side, I have no idea, but I've spoken a few times with my half-sister on my mother's side. And apparently, you know, because I asked her flat out, I was like, you know, what is this? You know, is this something that runs in the family? Did, you know, what's happening to me here? And she said this was, you know, this was something that runs in the family. Apparently a relative whose photograph she will not get out. She will. I asked her. I said, "Well, send me a copy of this woman's picture." And so they won't. They will not bring it out of the. She was a seventh daughter of a seventh daughter. I have no idea what that means, but apparently it means something special. But they have this woman's photograph, and they will not take it out of storage. They just won't. She won't even do it long enough to take a picture and send it to me. So every time they do, then crazy things start to happen. Apparently my mother had it, but she wanted nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing to do with it. So as far as that area goes, it's kind of sketchy. My daughter has stuff, but it's a little different than mine. Sarah's more on the, she can pick up the emotions of them. And she occasionally sees them, and sometimes she hears them, but she's like me, it's you know, when I was, it's like, what, you know, what purpose does this serve? You know? So, and she's a little more vulnerable than I am, you know, but I'm her mom, so I'm going to be very protective of her when it comes to this kind of thing. I'm more mistrustful of the spirits a lot of the time. Some of them I immediately meet and I trust. There are others that, you know, not so much. You know, I just, you know, there were bad people when they were alive. There are probably still bad people when they're dead. Insane asylums terrify me. So yeah, St. Albans was, yeah, that's been a real hard one for me a couple of times, because you think about the fact that a lot of these people that were in these places when they were alive thought that they could climb the walls and fly and do all kinds of things anyway. Now that they're dead, yes, they can do that. And they're doing that, and they're still not mentally stable. So yeah, I tend to be more careful in insane asylums, because you just don't know what they're going to do. And now they don't have straitjackets and bars and doors to keep them where they probably need to be. They can just go anywhere they want to and do anything they want to, and they probably very much enjoy doing very bad things.
Look, Bob, so, no doors.
Yeah, it seems, yeah, hey, I can climb a wall and I can fly now. Let me thump this guy on the head as he goes down the hall. No, that's not an enjoyable experience. You know, the electroshock therapy room at St. Albans, not a favorite place of mine. I'm thoroughly fascinated by it, but I don't enjoy being in that room. We had a very strange voice come across the SB-11 there one night that, I mean, it sent chills down my spine. And it's not a place that I would want to walk through that place alone, ever. Because you just don't know what's going to creep up on you.
I need a GPS. I need a St. Albans GPS.
You need a tracking bracelet.
Because, man, no matter, like, how often I've been there, I always get lost walking around St. Albans. It's like... Angie knew where to go before I did.
We're getting lost now.
Yeah, it's almost like they had the inmates kind of design the places. It you know, as the years went on, let's just stick some stuff over here, let's stick some stuff over there. Oh, we got some bare area here, let's stick some stuff there. And, you know, they made this giant jigsaw puzzle of a building that doesn't make any sense. Mm. Yeah, I wouldn't want to get lost in there. And, you know, being night blind, that's going to happen. Yeah, you know, I've tried to purchase myself the brightest flashlight known to man to go paranormal investigating. You know, so if you see me without my flashlight in the dark somewhere, something's probably wrong. You know, it's got to be close by. I need to know where it's at all times.
Yeah,
so I think everybody else on my team. Huh.
Especially with your night blindness, if you were not near your flashlight. We know there's something wrong.
Yeah. I think the rest of my team hates that flashlight with a burning passion. I click that thing on, it's everybody else goes blind. It's like, oh, I can see though. I don't care. I'm so sorry. Now you know how I feel. So, but you know, I stumble around during the daytime too. So it's neither here nor there. I'm just used to it, I think, by now. I may be the only legally blind paranormal investigator that I know of.
Well, how did you get your nickname?
Oh. it's nowhere near what you think it is. Merlin. Actually, it comes from an odd story about a cat. My husband, who, you know, he was usually a dog man, and we had a few cats running around the house, and we had this beautiful young black tomcat we had named Merlin, and he had decided that he was my husband's cat. And, of course, my husband had no idea. The cats, you know, felines have different personalities and they do different things and they will communicate with you, much like a dog does. They'll try to get their point across. And the cat was trying to tell him something. It wanted something. And I'd been raised around animals my whole life. And he's like, I don't know what he wants. What does he want me to do? And I turned around and I don't remember what it was. And I told him, I said, he wants you to blah, blah, blah. And he's like, and he looked at me and he looked at the cat. He's like, what are you, Merlin Seer? And I was like, what?
The Merlin Whisperer.
So, and I used that. You know, it was kind of a joke at the time because I remember Merlin was on television at the time, the miniseries they'd done, and that was one of the reasons why we'd named the cat Merlin, too. And I'd always been a big fan of King Arthur and his knights and reading up on things like that. It was one of my favorites. And so it was like, it was nice to have this cat named Merlin. And so I used Merlin Seer online in a chat room. And eventually it kind of got shortened to Merlin. And my friend Susie, when she came up to Kansas City, you know, she was used to calling me Merlin. When I moved down here, I was introduced to people as Merlin, and it just kind of stuck. And so everybody thought, I mean, even members of Team Twisted thought my real name was Merlin. And I just told them, I was like, no.
I know I did.
Yeah,
like,
that's Shelly
person.
Yeah, I mean, it must be 10 years now that it, you know, I've heard people use that name, and I'll still stand there and turn around and go, who are they talking to? I have to hear a certain voice, you know, like a family member say that name for me to recognize that that is my name now, and it's kind of weird. It's like I'm just Merlin. You know,
yeah.
It's nothing, you know, there's nothing mystical or magical about it. It's just a joke from, you know, a conversation with my husband about trying to tell him how to talk to his cat. So.
Well, that's funny. I mean, it's cool to learn like the story behind that nickname. It's funny how it's grown to just be your name now, you know?
Yeah.
Merlin.
I didn't realize that it had become my name until I was at work one day, and my boss is off in her office, and she started yelling out my name. And I was standing there in the kitchen, and she yelled it again, and I looked around the kitchen. I'm like, who's she yelling at? I went back in the office, I looked at her, and said, who are you yelling at? And she's like, you dummy. You don't even know what your name is anymore. And like, she's like, here's your paycheck. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that is right. Oh, damn, that's me. Yeah, thank you. Now I remember who I am again. Yeah, I got to be careful now. You know, if I fill out doctor's forms or anything like that, first name, no, that's not my name. Erase.
Right.
You know. So it's, you know, I think I've just gotten used to it. And you know, over time here, considering my history and love of King Arthur and his knights and Merlin the Magician and all that, I like it. You know.
It definitely fits.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you don't get to pick my
name. Yeah. No, I'd pick for you. I'd have to think about it. But I don't see you. Like, I don't see you as a Shelley. You know, for me, you're always Merlin, and it's just fixed. You know,
yeah, it just kind of, yeah. I think I've grown into that name. It's, yeah. I'm not much different as Merlin as I was when I was Shelley. And you know, I go back to Kansas City, then I'm Shelley again because I'm around all my people and my relatives, and some of them they call me Shelley Ray. So yeah, it's just, you know, you know, if you yell Shelley, I'm probably going to stand there and look around and see who you're trying to talk to. If you yell Merlin, I know that's me. Yeah, you know, there's usually only one of us in the entire building.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, there are not many Merlins around, that's for sure.
Oh, that's okay. My daughter spent years thinking she was named after a cat. So, yeah, that was not. And we had to explain to her she was not, no, you're not named after a cat. You're named after a character from Doctor Who. Now, I tried to name her Sarah Jane. My husband decided that, no, Sarah Jane sounded too country, even though Sarah Jane Bradbury was very English. And so I was not allowed to use Jane. I couldn't name her Sarah Elizabeth because a friend of mine stole that name because she liked it. So, you know, and she knew that my parents had had a cat named Sarah Jane. So she thought that I had named her after that cat. And I was like, no, you and the cat are both named after a character from Doctor Who. This is how nerdy I am.
Priority.
So, yeah, there's priorities in life. You are named after Sarah Jane Smith. That is it. That is all. There you go. You're not named after a cat.
I wanted to name this kid Thor.
At least you named your kid the Doctor. I mean, you could have gone that route. Or Alec.
I think she was rather pleased after that to discover that she was named after Sarah Jane Smith, because at the time she was, you know, she had a crush on the king of the nerds at the school, who immediately found her more interesting to find out that she was named after a character from Doctor Who. So, yeah, it all worked out for her real well.
Hey, did she thank you?
Well, I don't remember if she thanked me or not. She probably, you know, she still tosses it out there. Yeah, I got Doctor Who in my history. You know, it's, yeah, that's one of my big nerd things. That, Star Wars, Star Trek, you know, just throw the sci-fi at me. I don't care. Just let me watch it. I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I can escape for a while. You know.
Escape reality for a little bit. We've got our fourth co-host on the show with us, Don from Florida. Celeste has joined. Well, she joined us a while ago, but it's, you know, we just unmuted her.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, we hear you.
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure, because I had muted my line, so I wanted to make sure it was unmuted. How is everyone?
We're good. We're just up here talking about nerdy stuff.
That's my jam. That's my heart. My room is covered in Marvel superheroes. You think I'm joking? I'm not.
So I got a question to ask. What did you think of that, the new Star Wars movie that came out? Did you see it?
The latest one, the one with Hamill. Mark Hamill in it. I think I enjoyed it. I had to wait a whole year before I could finally see it. I had to wait till it went to DVD. I can't go watch movies in a theater anymore, which just totally upsets me. But so I got to wait a little longer than everybody else. But I don't. There was a lot of it that I enjoyed. I enjoyed the nostalgia. I totally missed Harrison Ford in this one. I'm not exactly sure what to do with the fact that they've killed all the characters from the original films. I don't know where to go with that. And it's like, no, you know, are we bringing Luke, you know, sorry to anybody out there that hasn't seen it yet, the spoilers, but, you know, is Luke going to continue to come back like Yoda? Is, you know, is this little ghostly figure walking along? And, you know, is at some point, mm-hmm. is Harrison Ford, you know, Han Solo going to pop up as a ghost? But I truly enjoyed that moment in the film where you thought that they had figured out what to do with Carrie Fisher having died, and then they didn't kill her, and it was like that was cool. I liked that they did a superb job bringing Carrie Fisher to life in that film. I think it was Rogue One where they had Peter Cushing's character come back, and I loved that. I loved it. I just, you know, Peter Cushing as Grand Moff Tarkin would just, you know, I loved him in the original film, and to be able to see them bring him back to life and put him in this new film, I mean, that just touched my heart. It's like, yeah, there we go. We didn't just go out and find a lookalike and put him on there.
Yeah.
We really tried to bring Peter back to life, and because no one could play that role but Peter.
That is true.
He's from my old Hammer movie era, watching all those old films. He and Christopher Lee, and, you know, they were either always trying to stab each other or, you know, Peter's trying to put a stake through Christopher's heart or, you know, kill him when he was a mummy or something like that. They were always after each other.
Merlin, could you tell us a little bit how you got into costume design? Not to turn the tables there too quick, but
hey, we're running the gamut tonight on your life. This is your life, Merlin.
Costume designs. You're talking about the plague doctor.
You costumes for some of the Twisted productions.
Yeah,
or like the
awesome belt, or like, was it a gun holder?
Yeah, and then you designed Tim's Civil War.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Costume for the exchange hotel.
A lot of those costumes, the ones that we used at the jail down there for the hanging scene. A lot of those were done by my friend Susan Connor, a very talented seamstress.
Mm-hmm.
She knows a lot about historical and costuming and garb and things like that, so she did a lot of those. As far as, like, the costumes and things like that, when I originally in life, my intention was to be an artist. I was into art and history, and somewhere here in the room buried is an entire portfolio of artwork. And I went off to college under this assumption, and then I was about 6 months into college, and I discovered the horror that was going on with my eyes, and just kind of went, okay, they went, well, you know, maybe you got 5 years, maybe you got 10 years. So I went a little bazonkers and left and went off to go do some other things, and before I totally lost my eyesight. But once you've got art in your blood, you know, and you have this need to create, it's going to come out somewhere. And I've never had much of a budget, so I am creative with things that most people don't usually get creative with. I create costumes like the Plague Doctor and Timmy's Zombie and things like, because that's something that I've wanted to do. I just wanted to see if I could do it and see if it looked good, see if it was effective. See if it did that. I try all different kinds. I mean, Timmy's costume was a combination of Susie constructed the costume. I'm the one that deconstructed the costume. There's a whole lot of, like, acrylic paints. There's Gorilla Glue in there. There's, I mean, just all kinds of crazy things to give the effect that it's rotted, it's ripped, it's torn. I took a sanding tool to it. I'm just sitting there looking at this thing going, I feel so bad about tearing this brand new thing up, but, you know, zombies don't wear brand new clothing. So, yeah, we got to get in there. And the Plague Doctor was just, I wanted to do it. I just wanted to make one so bad. I love Plague Doctors. They're one of the coolest things in history and probably one of the scariest things. If you think about it, that was probably the last thing a lot of people with the plague saw was a plague doctor. And they probably thought it was a grim reaper coming to get them. So, you know, they were a fascination for me. And sitting down, most of the time it's just, I want to do it, and I want to see if I can do it. And if it turns out cool, I'm very pleased. That putting Timmy's gun and his sword together and the holster and all of that, it took several tries to get it done, but eventually I figured out what worked. If you look at Timmy's gun that I did for him and his sword, most of that is layers and layers of glue and cardboard and paint and all, you know, just whatever I could find at the time. I'll go to junk stores and Goodwills and things like that and just find pieces, parts that I can, you know, will this work? Will that work? Will that look like that? And eventually it does. I think Timmy's sword is a combination of cardboard, a kid's toy pirate sword, leather, a vacuum handle. I mean, whatever I could find that went together with it, that's how it got done.
Well, it's amazing that kind of stuff, like you use, you know, just normal everyday things you put together to get together some of the stuff you make. And people think you got to go and buy all this, you know, expensive stuff. But it's like,
yeah,
you can find what you have around the house and just see how it fits.
Yeah. So I keep boxes of wires and my room, basically, it looks like a teenage mad scientist lives in here. So, it's constantly rotating what I've got in here. The creepy dolls that I've done are, you know, I've got some that are just really weird. They're not just creepy. I mean, they lean way towards the nightmare side. So it's one of those things that, you know, if I pick the doll up or somebody looks at it and goes, yeah, we've achieved our goal. You know, if you've got that look of horror in your eye, we got it. We're there. Yeah, that's exactly the expression I wanted you to have on your face when you looked at that doll. We've done our job.
And Creepy Doll has become the unofficial mascot of Twisted Paranormal, you know, and everyone who sees you guys, who, you know, when it comes up to your table, they always seem to gravitate towards Creepy Doll.
That was totally unexpected, considering that Creepy Doll was created originally just to be a doll that had been laying in the floor of an old building somewhere, and that was her cameo, was just pick her up and go, ew, and put her down, and then somewhere after that, she struck something in people's psyche. And, my daughter and I had it was a tough job trying to abuse that doll. We'd never done it to a doll before, but, you know, we really wanted her to look the part. And, I mean, she had sandpaper taken to her. She was kicked around the yard. She was soaked in tea bags and coffee grounds. And, I mean, we just did horrible, terrible things to that doll. And amazingly enough, she looks better now than she did when we found her. That was the ugliest doll I have ever seen in my life. And I thought, if we need one for this doll right here we couldn't have found a better doll to do it. And she's better looking now, and apparently is much more happy. She's a star.
Yes, she is.
She has a host of brothers and sisters that are coming along in behind her.
Well, I mean, she definitely has a following now, that's for sure. We're getting close to the end. I know it's hard to believe, getting close to the end of the interview here. You have any other question you want to ask, Miller?
I don't believe so. It's been really nice talking to you, Merlin.
Thank you. I'm happy you guys let me get on here and rattle on, and I natter a bit when I get nervous, so, you know.
No, very well. You've done very well. We enjoyed hearing your stories.
Thanks. Can't wait to see you again.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you. You got to hurry up and have that baby and get on out here back into the world again and show him off. Everybody's
nine
waiting.
Nine
more days. And
nine
then they're just going to.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
And,
next time you see me, I'll have a baby attached to me, but on the outside, not the inside.
Well, that's probably better. I mean, the weight doesn't change very much. You're still carrying that. We referred to my oldest stepson as a squirming block of shortening. So
that sums it up.
Yeah. So yeah, you'll have that look forward to, and lots of air conditioning. You know, I know hauling a baby around in the heat. I had mine in April, so I had the whole summer to haul a baby around in my arms. It's like, oh. Thought this was going to get better. No, it's getting hotter. Oh, please, child,
yeah.
Don't grow anymore. Not till winter. Okay. So, yeah, we're all looking forward to Ryan Jr. here. Come out with much fanfare, and I think Brandon's due to have one here pretty quick. So
I think hers is coming like after Angie's.
I secretly hope we have them on the same day so they can be best friends forever.
I mean,
yeah.
They can be best friends without being born on the same day.
Well, I know, but...
You can call them twins if they're born on the same day. By the rate we're going, I feel like we're beginning to a toddler.
Right.
He'll be ready to get ready, come out ready to drive.
I mean, all these... Well, I guess Brandon's hasn't been investigating before it was born. Angie's, you know, you and Ryan's baby is definitely investigated. My grandson, he was investigating before he was born. So, he's into the Ghostbusters now. He's very excited that Mimi is a Ghostbuster. So, yeah.
Aww.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I got one more question before we let you go. I ask this question every time I interview someone. If you could describe your time in the paranormal in one word, what would it be?
Ooh. Exhilarating.
Yeah, I like that.
Good one.
That's a good one.
Good one.
That's a great. Well, Merlin, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking with us and spending time with us. You know, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun talking to you, too. Thank you for letting me come on here and expound my thoughts upon the world.
Oh, you're welcome. It was a lot of fun. But glad we can give you the opportunity to come on and talk with us and, you know, learn more about you.
Yeah, anytime. I've got lots of time on my hands.
Well, we'll definitely have you back on the show.
Okie dokie then. It was nice talking with you guys. Big shout out to Team Twisted and our crew and all of those people out there that you know, helped me out and let me be involved in this. I mean, they have no idea how much it means. I really don't, you know, put up with all my craziness and the things that go along with me, so.
Well, they're lucky to have you on their team. I've worked with you several occasions, and, I mean, I'm always impressed when I work with you and stuff, and I always enjoy myself talking with you and at events and investigations and stuff. So looking forward to seeing you again here really
you
soon.
Too. Yeah, alrighty. Well, I love you guys, and I guess I'll talk to you later then. Alrighty.
Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have a good night, y'all. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was fun. I love Merlin. She's awesome.
Yeah, it was good having her on the show.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
She's fun to talk to always.
Yeah, like I said, we... Talk to her, like if you go up and just say hi to her at an event, she'll talk to you and you know and give questions, and she's always very open about her abilities and stuff, and it's a lot of fun.
I've not had the pleasure of meeting her in person yet, but hopefully soon. So
Yeah.
You won't be disappointed.
No, you won't. No, you won't. Let's see. Next week we have going on next week. Anything?
We're having a baby.
I know. I'm just kidding. On Monday we have Angie Klein Dameron coming on the show. She is she's a founder of EnigmaCon. That is a paranormal convention going on at St. Albans, which we'll be going to next year with 1 year old.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'll be going next year. If she wants
you
to stay,
get that right on out your head there.
If she wants to stay at home, that's fine. But anyways, we have her coming on the show, and next week, and we'll talk about EnigmaCon and stuff like that, and then we'll have a baby on Wednesday, and then on Monday we'll be back. I got April and Carrie from Freaks and Geeks coming on the show, so we're good. We're gonna have
awesome.
A full slate these next 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and
I'm not so sure if I'll be on next Monday.
Yeah, Angie might not make it, but Bella could be on.
No,
I'm at work.
He's at work.
I have to work next Monday.
Solo.
You'll be on for Angie. You'll be on for the EnigmaCon lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
April and Carrie are coming in 2 weeks.
Yeah. I'm saying.
Okay, well, that's fine. I can talk to them for myself. I'm good.
If I can't disappear on break for an hour and a half, I'll call in.
Well, that's fine. But, again, I want to thank Merlin for coming on the show. And, is that it? We'll be back next Monday. Same freaking awesome time.
Same freaking awesome channel.
Same freaking awesome people.
Hell yeah. All right. Good night, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.